Our scriptures this morning, I think, are both pretty familiar passages. There's an Isaiah passage and a Colossians passage. And I invite you again to continue thinking about the words that talk about robe, talk about clothed. We're thinking about God's robe and garment this morning. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 and 10 to 11. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me with a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Blessings, Pastor Steve, as you share.
Morning, everybody. Welcome. Just want to start out with a question. If any of you are wearing something that you got for Christmas, would you be willing to stand up? Anybody want to let us know what you got? You don't have to, but I got this shirt yesterday. Anybody else? What did we get? Shirt? Okay. Necklace. Okay. Good. Socks. All right. Cards. Okay. Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. I don't know if you remember, if you ever saw the Christmas story, but Ralphie got this bunny suit, and his parents made him put it on and come down on Christmas morning. But we want to talk about the fact that at Christmas we're given a gift, but then we're invited to wear that gift, you know, to to wear the salvation, to wear the righteousness that Jesus came to bring us. So we want to think a little bit more what that means to be robed in righteousness. We've already acknowledged that God inhabits or wears the praises of the people. He is arrayed in splendor. The Psalm 93 says, "The Lord reigns. He's clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded himself with strength." But then in Scripture, over and over again, it lets us know that God also clothes us with garments of salvation, that he blesses his people with new clothing. And we're invited to put those on. Isaiah 61 that Sophia just read, "My God has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness." And it's part of that bigger prophecy that says, God's given me a crown of beauty and the people of God, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And so we're oaks of righteousness displaying the splendor, the glory of God. Claire, would you mind, at my seat there's a water bottle. Do you mind bringing that up to me? Thanks. Now, I want to look at a particular scripture here. This doesn't necessarily talk specifically about clothing, but in 1 Corinthians 8, Paul talks about Jesus. And he says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that even though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." And I'd just like you to think about that in terms of clothing, that Jesus, even though he was arrayed in glory in heaven, yet he came to us, he took the form of man, he clothed himself in that which was no longer glorious, so that because he did this, because he took on this servant attire, now we are able to dress with splendor of his righteousness. Just like to ask this question, put this out for you. If anybody wants to answer, you can. What did Jesus, as he came to earth, actually wear that demonstrates his the fact that he humbled himself? He emptied himself and came here to earth. He took off his glorious attire to be someone like us. Anything come to mind of what Jesus wore that demonstrated what he did for us to become poor on our behalf?
Sandals.
Good. Yeah. I think about the crown of thorns that he wore. Okay, yeah. That which he's swaddled with there at his birth. Peasant clothes? Yeah. He wouldn't have been dressed as a king. Yeah. A towel, yes. When he when he washed the disciples' feet, he wrapped a towel around himself. Yeah. We could kind of stretch it a little bit to say he wore nails in his hands. He wore the ridicule, the reproach of the people. He put his sins upon himself for us. All these ways that Jesus, what he wore, actually demonstrated what he came to do for us. And then now, because he did this, we are clothed with righteousness. We are clothed with salvation. And so I'd like to think about that in a number of ways this morning. How are we clothed with righteousness? How is that a gift to us? So the first thing is that we're clothed with his love and his validation instead of being clothed with shame. Think about in Isaiah, we are clothed with a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Ashes is often what we think about with repentance or feeling the guilt and shame of our sin. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, after they sinned, and they just sensed their nakedness before God, And God in his mercy clothed them with animal skins, in a sense to cover that shame for them. And there's a story in Zechariah 4, where Joshua at that time is the high priest. And in this passage, or as Zechariah is writing, the people of Israel have come back from being exiles in Babylon. And God is beginning to restore them. But they're really still carrying the weight of their brokenness before God, the fact that they had fallen away from God and he in judgment sent them into exile. And now they're returning. And so this is some words about Joshua, the high priest. And just think about Joshua as representing the people, and in a sense, the holiness of the people. And so there's Joshua presenting himself before an angel of the Lord, and Satan is standing at his side to accuse him. Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes, and that's to represent the state of the people at that time. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." And we can just imagine if the accuser is standing next to Joshua, he's saying, don't take off his filthy clothes. He deserves to be wearing them. These people deserve what they've fallen into. They aren't worthy of being restored as your chosen people, as the people holy and loved in God's sight. But as it goes on, the angel says to Joshua, as the filthy clothes are taken off, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I'm going to put fine garments upon you." So again, to symbolize what God's doing to restore his people. In the New Testament, as Jesus is teaching the parable, something that might seem more familiar to you in terms of this particular point is when the Good Samaritan returned home. And one of the things the father said to him, as the son's returning home, probably literally in filthy robes, but also just again bearing the weight of his shame, the father says, "Go get the finest robe and put it upon him." Again, symbolizing what God does to restore us, to validate us, to make us his very own. And then finally, in Revelation 3, it talks about all who are victorious, all who remain faithful and true, they will be clothed in white, and I will erase their, I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. God dresses the people, his people, in robes of white. And so that's the first thing these new garments represent. Our new place before God, as forgiven, as dearly loved, as his righteous people. But then secondly, from our Colossians passage, there's the call not only to recognize that God now sees you as righteous, but now to live into God's righteousness. Actually, in your life, put on this righteousness and live it out. And I'd just like to read here again, there's the idea of taking off this and putting on something new. And so Paul says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." And so it seems like in this particular list of things, Paul's saying, take off these things that represent your strong personal desires for things that have become idols in your life rather than God as the God of your life. But then he goes on to another list of things. "Also rid yourselves of such things as anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices." And this list seems to be more of a list of those things that destroy relationships and break relationships between us. And so instead, we're to put these things on, and there's a whole list of things. And the first group seems to be, again, a list, put on these things that have to do with how you treat one another. Clothe yourself with compassion and with kindness and with humility and with gentleness and with patience. The idea of in humility, putting others first. Gentleness or meekness. I always think of meekness as a power that's under control. Like when you would break a bucking bronco so that it now becomes useful. Instead of fits of rage, instead of jealousy and anger and all these things, gossip spewing from you, instead allow that to be tempered by love so that you treat each other with compassion and kindness. And things get deeper. Bear with one another. There's things that really challenge you in relationship. Show forbearance for one another. When you've been offended and when you've been sinned against, be willing to forgive as your Father forgives. And above and over all these things, put on love, that kind of unconditional love in all circumstances as demonstrated by Jesus. So we put those kinds of things on. But then also clothe yourselves with the peace of Christ and be thankful. So for here we're putting on peace. And literally it means let peace rule, or let peace be the umpire in your life. When you're making decisions about what to do and how to treat one another, let the way of peace win out. Follow the example of Jesus. And it's not just meant to be, have inner peace in your heart, but let there be peace as you relate one to another in the body of Christ and with one another in this world. And so put on peace and the things that bring peace and reconciliation between one another. And then he says, let the message of Christ, let the word of Christ, put that on, you know, wear that in your life. And do that with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing with gratitude from your heart. I thought about Psalm 119, and it's a whole psalm about how the words of God are so necessary and important in David's life. Here's one portion of Psalm 119. Think about wearing the message and the word of God. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, O Lord, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and I will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commands, because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Just, he looked forward to it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He just wanted to be nourished by the word of God. Yesterday, one of my gifts was jelly, a whole series of jellies, including Christmas jelly was one of the flavors, along with English muffins. And so this morning I woke up and the first thought on my mind was, I need to make an English muffin and put jelly on it. You know, I delight in that. And that's what David is saying here with the word of God. I just need to put this on in my life, to take it in and to live it out. So much so that we even sing about it. You know, the word of God becomes something we sing and we praise God for. And then finally, it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, clothe yourselves with the name of Jesus, doing all for him. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We're taking on his name. We're taking on that identity. Nate's here, right? And I wanted to ask, do you have anything with the eagles on it? And I do. I see an eagle's hat, you know. He's identifying with the eagles. And the Lancaster Barnstormers. But we do that. We wear clothing to identify with a team, whatever it might be. Okay. And so, oh, there's more. Okay. And so, Oh, a backpack. There we go. All right. Some of us wear, at work, you might have to wear some kind of company logo. And when you're out and about, especially if you have a job where you're with people, you're interacting with people, there's this expectation from the company that you're going to represent them well. You know, whether you have that logo or not, you're our employee. And so when you're out interacting with people, you should represent this company well. It's not just you out there interacting. You are an extension of this company. And likewise, the word here is, whatever I do, it's all a display of Jesus. You know, or that's what I want to grow into. John the Baptist said, he must become more and more. I must become less and less. And part of that was just like on the world stage, I must become less and he must present himself more fully. But that can even be an attitude of our hearts. In my life, I myself must become less and less. And more and more of Jesus must shine through me. And so put on the name of Jesus in our lives. And so that idea of the glory of Jesus shining more and more in our lives leads to the final point of we grow into our clothing, or we grow into our style. And I was trying to be able to copy some pictures onto this PowerPoint. We've been going through a lot of pictures as we clean up my mom's house, and just finding some pictures from the past. In the earlier 70s, when I was just a kid growing up, our family pictures were just full of plaid and loud prints. I don't know if that you can relate to that from your own pictures as a kid. And then my middle school or my junior high pictures from the later 70s was like silky shirts, like the disco era. You'd see that. In high school, I found a picture. There's a bunch of my friends. We dressed up as nerds, went to see the movie Revenge of the Nerds. And, you know, we displayed that in the midst of that movie. But anyway, in one way or another, we all kind of experiment or grow into what our style of clothing is. And so by now, with April and I being married for a number of years, she knows what kind of clothing to get me without me having to be there and say, this is what I would like. Like, she knows my style. She knows what I've grown into by this point in our lives. And in the same way, as we put on Christ, it's not like it happens all at once, but we grow into that, especially as we seek him faithfully. If you read the scriptures that were suggested for this week, one of them was from Luke 2, where Jesus, at age 12, Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple, and he's there teaching with the religious leaders. But it says of Jesus at that point, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with all the people. Already at that age, you see Jesus growing and maturing towards the godly man that he would fully be. But likewise, as we clothe ourselves in Christ, or as God clothes us in righteousness, it's we grow into that style of the way we dress. We all, in one way, we all represent his righteousness, but each of us in our unique way is a display of Jesus to this world. And so in conclusion, our clothing says a lot about us. You know, it might show that we're celebrating. It might show that we're mourning. It might demonstrate the values that we have, or who we identify with. It shows maybe our current condition, the way that we're living. It might show our occupation, the way that we serve, a demonstration of our character. But in all these ways, the call here is to accept the gift of Christ's salvation and the righteousness that he wants to pour into our lives. And so I hope we leave today with this question of, how am I being clothed in Christ? What choices am I making to clothe myself with his righteousness and to pursue that in my life? And so as we are grateful for the gift of the Christ child and Jesus coming into this world, we remember that he came with a purpose to gift us so that we might be clothed in his righteousness today and forever, to wear those white garments and praise God forever and ever. May that be so for us. Let's pray together. God, we come to you this morning. I just pray blessing over this congregation and all of our guests. I just pray that as we celebrate the birth of Christ, we would remember that he came to bring light. He came to bring righteousness and reconciliation with our Creator God and our Savior and Redeemer. May we accept that gift, and may we day by day be clothed more and more in his righteousness, and remember that the filthy old rags have been taken off, and now we are clothed in splendid garments of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen.